It's business and finance time now, where we take a look at the big things happening in the world of economics and commerce. My guest today, business reporter at The Australian, Ben Butler. Ben, welcome.
Good evening.
The Aussie dollar is looking a bit better today. What was behind yesterday's 32-month low?
Yeah, so it's really actually the strength of the American dollar, which is due to its economy sort of taking off, really. So it's not anything we've really done. Basically, it's got really little to do with the Australian economy. It's got to do with the strength of the US economy versus the rest of the world, especially the developing world. And the US economy is really bouncy, right? So whereas most economies have, when they go down a bit. When they go up, they go a bit. The US really swings pretty hard, possibly because it really has no kind of labor market protections. So companies just sack a bunch of people when things get bad, which tips the economy further into the hole, and then when things get better, they just hire a bunch of people.
So things happen quickly.
Things happen quickly in the land of the free.
What do you make of predictions from JP Morgan that the Aussie dollar could fall to 68 US cents?
I love predictions about Forex because I remember back when the Aussie dollar was at parity, which wasn't very long ago, a few years ago, and there were predictions around that it was going to go to $1.50. Mm. Yeah, sure.
That says a bit
knows.
About what you think of predictions.
Yeah.
And the IMF has released its latest world economic outlook. What does it say about the Australian economy?
It's not going that great, basically. We kind of knew that. It's revised up from, growth forecast is revised up from 3% to 3.2%, which is still not fantastic. Really, it's been 10 years since the global financial crisis, right? And we've really never recovered. Globally, really hasn't recovered, and we're still kind of stuck. And we've now got a trade war underway between the US, which has rebounded, and the rest of the world. And that's not good for us because we are a trade-dependent nation. We trade with heavily with the United States' biggest trade enemy, China. That's where all the iron ore and the coal goes. So. We're stuck in the middle of that.
Let's move to another story. The impact of the Banking Royal Commission marches on. What can you tell me about the Commonwealth Bank's latest announcement on advice fees charged to dead people?
Yeah, they say they're going to stop doing it right away, and they're going to figure out, the first thing they're going to do is figure out how many they've done. So they're not sure so far. So far, they've only found 12. That were charged between April and June this year, and they've searched 142,000 accounts. So we'll see how that goes. This is part of a package of stuff they've announced today that's essentially a reaction to the Royal Commission. Probably the biggest one is that they're going to rebate to customers trailing commissions. So these are commissions that were new commissions of this type were outlawed in 2013. But where you're continuing to pay a fee to a financial advisor or someone like that for a service they sold you, you know, an investment or something back in the day, and it can carry on infinitely. Back when they were banned, it was thought these would fade away naturally, but in fact they've turned into this valuable commodity that's traded around the financial services industry. And CBA says we're going to start rebating them to customers, which means basically that they're going to pay them rather than the customer bearing the cost. And in tandem with that, and not coincidentally, the CBA now wants them banned or legislation to make them illegal completely so that they don't have to keep paying them anymore. This is part of a real shakeout that we've seen in after the Royal Commission, which is still going actually. Mm-hmm. It's sort of very interesting because there was a lot of scepticism in certain quarters that the Royal Commission would accomplish anything. I was kind of skeptical about whether it would do much.
You're not so sceptical now, are you?
No, even without any final report, which is due in February.
It's pretty incredible that one of the main findings is greed.
Well,
greed.
It seems kind of obvious in retrospect, doesn't it?
That's what I'm trying to say. Greed. Greed is bad.
Well, and really prevalent. And,
who would have thought it?
Who would have thought it? But the structural implication of that is that we've had a regulation system that's been based on basically just telling customers what you're doing. Mm. And that's dead as a doornail. It clearly doesn't work because people don't read hundreds of pages of stuff. And it turns out that not everything was properly disclosed anyway, so you couldn't have sort of gotten to the bottom of it
even
as
if you
a customer.
Were prepared to do it. All right, very quickly, for your last story, we need to make clear, it was your idea to give a plug to your opposition. What has the Financial Review got on Anglo-Swiss mining giant Glencore today?
Yes, this is an excellent story by Neil Chinoweth on page one. So the tax office is going after Glencore over a transaction where it moved $30 billion of international assets into offshore tax structures. Glencore is fighting this in the High Court and doesn't want to hand over a bunch of really, really detailed documents that show just how complicated its structure was and just what it did and how it all worked. Neil Chinoweth and the Financial Review have helpfully published all those documents today in the newspaper and on their website. So there you go.
A scoop.
The wider ramification of this is that the big four accounting companies are in the gun for promoting these kind of massive sort of schemes to move money around.
Watch that space.
Indeed.
Ben Butler, thank you.
Thank you.
Ben Butler is a business reporter at The Australian. This is RN Drive.